He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I am Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider for Offside, as well as their Lakers lead creator. And today on the show, I'm going to be joined by you guys. We obviously would normally record our mailbag on a Sunday, but seeing as the Lakers played Sunday and then yesterday, we are recording it now today on a Tuesday. So it will be a midweek mailbag to maintain that alliteration. I do have a topic that I want to hit on before we get into the questions. I realized I kind of danced around the topic a little bit, but I also wanted to really hammer home why this start that the Lakers are off to is so important. I think they're off to 6-2 start, and rank up there, at least in terms of record, with some of the best teams in at least the West and by extension the league. And I think it was really important that they do so. So I want to talk about that. And then you know, like I said, I'll jump into your guys' questions. I already see one question here from the live chat. I'll get to as many of those live questions as I possibly can. As always, my priority is the 5-star reviews from iTunes. And, you know, quick reminder, hit me with those 5-star reviews, and that's the best way to get your subject matter covered on the show without having to pay for a super comment. I also asked for questions on Twitter, so I'll run through. I think I only got like one, so quiet day, you know, which is kind of crazy because the Lakers are off to this start, so we'll talk about that. And then we'll go wherever else that you want me to take this show. So let's go ahead and dive on in. But first, obviously, a quick reminder, please do hit that subscribe button if you guys have not done so yet. And then if you guys are watching here on YouTube, please hit that like button. If you guys are watching on Twitter right now live, head on over to youtube.com/@LakersLounge to find the show there. And then if you guys are listening to the show in the morning via podcast form, please hit that subscribe button wherever it is that you get your podcasts, preferably on Odyssey, because I am a company man. All right, let's go ahead and dive on in, starting with a quick little spiel on why this start to this season, playing out the way that it has so far, was so important. All right, so I want to start with where this season began, or even go back even further and look at the offseason. And remember, LeBron James opts into the final year of his contract. There were no, you know, and extension talks the Lakers and LeBron never came close to any kind of extension talk, or let alone an extension agreement. And the way that LeBron kind of let it be known that he wasn't really thrilled with how all of that went down was by opting into his final year of his contract and then having Clutch release a statement that made it seem like he was kind of soft launching a departure in one way or another. And, you know, so that all goes down. The Lakers have their offseason and they prioritize future financial flexibility. And at no point while they were filling out their roster, one of their better offseasons really in a while, while they were having that offseason, at no point did LeBron say like, oh, I like this roster that we put together here. It was very quiet from him on that front. Ton of golfing, ton of subtweets and stuff like that. And then you get to media day and it sounds a little bit better, but remember there too, LeBron says all the right things, and then right at the tail end of media day, it was like, oh yeah, by the way, we already told the Lakers to take it easy on me, and I don't know when I'm going to be able to play. So it just felt like, you know, there were people legitimately asking around the league, has LeBron played his last game for the Lakers? And that's just LeBron. The Lakers entered the season with Rui on an expiring. Austin Reeves is essentially on an expiring because the anticipation is that he is going to opt out of his contract after this upcoming season. DeAndre Ayton, Marcus Smart, like you can go on down the line. Vast majority of the Lakers are on expiring contracts. And there was just a lot that could have gone wrong very quickly if the Lakers didn't get off to a good start, especially considering the level of competition that they were going to be facing, right? Had they lost, you know, both games to Portland, or had they lost the game to Sacramento and you know, maybe dropped another one along the way and were sitting at or let alone below 500, there wouldn't be the same buy-in that I think we're seeing here from this Lakers team. And, you know, look, it's a lot easier to keep a ball in motion than it is to get it going, right? That is one of the laws of physics is things that will that are in motion tend to stay in motion, and things that are not in motion, it takes, you know, force to get them into motion. And with the Lakers, had that ball started rolling in the wrong direction, and they, you know, go into the season with all of the questions for all of these players about their futures in the league, let alone with the Los Angeles Lakers, that would have gotten kind of awkward. You know, there have been a lot of people kind of looking around being like, all right, well, we're not winning, so I'm not going to make much money from that part of, you know, from that level of success. And all right, I guess the only way that I might be able to get myself the contract that I'm looking for next season is to pursue individual accolades and individual statistics. And had that happened, you know, that it's just really difficult to get everybody onto the same page. And, you know, now seeing the way that things have started and having the Lakers be essentially rewarded by the basketball gods with some wins here early on, that does hammer home the talking points or the approach that JJ Redick is selling to the Lakers. So getting this start, man, being 8-6-2 and with a couple of winnable games ahead of you before you get to the 10 game mark, when teams usually start really kind of identifying, you know, needs and strengths of their rosters, the Lakers being able to, you know, rack up some of these wins while they learn about themselves is I think a real testament to the level of buy-in that the Lakers have and JJ Redick's ability to get that buy-in from his guys, let alone, I think, the real strategic improvements that we have seen from the Lakers in terms of the tactics at play when we actually get them, watch them, you know, compete. So yeah, this start for the Lakers, absolutely critical. And it was something that I said that was part of the reason why I was so worried about training camp and preseason, was because it was like they needed to get out to a real hot start and they needed to rack up some of these wins so that you would get that, you know, the reward for playing the game the right way or playing the game collectively in a way that, you know, wins basketball games. That's how you hammer home some of those habits. So yeah, it's been really fun. Obviously last night's game was a blast too. I hope you guys have checked out the conversation that I had with Raj about it last night. But more so than any one game in particular, you know, in terms of importance through this start, the bigger thing is from a macro level, not having to deal with drama by way of falling short of expectations heading into the season, while there are so many questions facing so many guys across this roster. All right, so let's go ahead and dive on into your guys' questions here. I'll start with Lakers Fedora from Apple, from iTunes, who writes, "It's great to be back for another Lakers season. Writing this post AR's 51 piece on the Kings. First off, what an incredible performance. His ability to elevate his play according to who or who isn't available is unreal. A couple of thoughts. For the trade Austin crowd, how are we feeling? I've seen some pretty egregious trade ideas. Austin for like Jonathan Isaac level egregious. But even for someone like Herb Jones, is Jones dropping 50 literally ever? Is he ever stepping up like we saw and continue to see Austin do? Imagine having Jonathan Isaac right now instead of AR. Good Lord. I get that we need to make some upgrades, specifically in terms of perimeter defense, but everyone's obsession with trading Austin to make that habit happen is ridiculous, especially when he's only making like $14 million. Next thing, my buddies and I are all huge Lakers fans, and I think Rui is a complete space cadet who doesn't play hard unless he's scoring. We posed a question recently in light of all of this. What would be more shocking, Rui scoring 35 or Rui scoring grabbing 10 boards in a game? We all unanimously agree that rebounds would be more shocking. Appreciate you always, Anthony." Thank you very much for the love and the question. I obviously really appreciate it. We'll start with the AR part of this. And I obviously agree, you know, as far as like how crazy things got over the summer from that faction of the fan base. And by the way, like I want to say this too. I understand some of where that take is coming from, where from the Lakers perspective, you could argue that they have an abundance of creativity on the ball. And that if you could perhaps address a weakness by, you know, using some of what you have an abundance of, maybe that would make some sense to balance out the roster. And it, like, if that is essentially the extent of the take, I honestly don't necessarily disagree. Now, I think there's context to all of this stuff, right? Where, yes, you have an abundance of on-ball creativity now, but that will only carry on moving forward if you are of the expectation that LeBron James is going to remain a Laker for a good couple of years beyond this season. Because all of a sudden, if you trade Austin to address this other thing, and then you lose LeBron to retirement this upcoming offseason, now all of a sudden, this thing that you had an abundance of before, you no longer have that abundance, and it actually becomes a weakness. It becomes a deficit on your roster. You now no longer have enough on-ball creativity, despite having Luka Doncic on your team. And so, like, if the stance is, you know, use Austin as, you know, and Austin representing that abundance of that specific skill set, use him to go out and get player X who addresses a weakness or a deficit in your roster. Okay. But you also have to be wary of or be aware of the possibility that by addressing that deficit, you might create a deficit in another very important aspect of this team. And the thing to me, and this comment kind of gets at this, the thing to me that makes Austin special is the scalability. His ability at any time to go from primary offensive engine to secondary creator or sometimes tertiary creator, his willingness to do so, right? His willingness to just kind of be a good teammate and do whatever the Lakers need him to do. Like I don't know if I said this to Raj last night, but I was kind of talking to some people in like around and in the league and, over the last few days while all this stuff is going on with John Morant. And at one point I had kind of wondered like, what would a jaw to the Lakers trade look like? I'm not interested, to be clear. I would rather avoid Ja Morant at this time. Not just for like the headache aspect of it, but statistically he is becoming a worse basketball player. But I was kind of thinking about this, and I had posed the question in the lounge Slack. I think I did mention this last night. But I had posed the question in the lounge Slack, and I had asked some people who don't cover the Lakers, and I'd asked some league personnel as well, would you trade Austin Reeves for Ja Morant straight up? Not even counting the contracts, because the contract to me, it becomes absolutely, I'm absolutely against taking on that Ja Morant contract. And I would not trade Austin Reeves straight up for Ja Morant. Ja hasn't shown an ability. For one thing, he's the centerpiece of one of the more frustrating eras of Memphis Grizzlies basketball ever, right? It did hit some highs, some regular season highs, but they've been postseason failures basically since he got there. And obviously you have the off the court stuff that I'm hoping he learned from, and I do think maybe was blown a little out of proportion, but still, like, was dumb at the time. At the very least, he had that suspension, and then you know, like, I think literally last year was shown, like, I don't know, there was like the pantomiming thing that like harkened back to the reason that he was suspended. So like, there's a real concern here that this guy is just incapable of learning from his mistakes. And one thing that I would point to, you know, as proof that he does struggle in that regard is his quotes after, you know, the suspension, and how he's lost his joy for you know, the joy involved in playing basketball is gone. And it's just all these things. It just sounds like constant whining and constant bemoaning of the situation around him without acknowledging that he is part of the reason that situation exists the way that it does. And yeah, like, I don't know. I don't really see a world where Austin creates some of those headaches. And I think right now, statistically, Austin just profiles as a better basketball player. And, you know, Ja has been in the league for a long time now. Ja Morant age. He is 26 years old, just turned 26 over the offseason. So he and Austin are roughly the same age. And because of Ja's inability to shoot the basketball, I'm really kind of concerned that we're going to see a Russell Westbrook type decline in this guy's game. Whereas with Austin, his ability to shoot tells me that he's probably going to be pretty good in the NBA for the next, I don't know, at least 5, 6, 7, maybe even decade. And I would say that, like, I would just rather keep Austin. So that scalability is really kind of special, and we've seen it from Austin dating back to when he had first started to get a look from the Lakers, and each step along the way, as his game has grown, he has figured out a way to balance his own personal growth on a basketball court with the things that the Lakers need him to be able to do. That's pretty unique. And so, like, if you're going to trade Austin, you'd better nail that trade. Like, you'd better absolutely bring back an absolute impact guy. And I think at this point, you know, I just haven't heard that guy that the Lakers could go out and get. And the reason that I bring up Ja Morant is because, like, that would be a couple of years ago, if you would have told me, hey, you could trade Austin for Ja Morant sometime in the next couple of years, would you do it? And a couple of years ago, I probably would have just absolutely jumped like Ja Morant at that opportunity. But now it's like that would have been a huge mistake. And now at this point, I'm at the point where I wouldn't trade Reeves for Morant straight up. So that just kind of goes to show how quickly things can change in the NBA. You know, you're looking at Ja Morant. I don't think he finishes the season in Memphis. You have Zion Williamson just tweaked his hammy again. So he's going to be out the next 7 to 10 days. I think there's a decent chance that he doesn't finish the season in New Orleans. The funniest outcome here would be Ja Morant being traded to New Orleans. That would be really fun. But yeah, I would just, you know, tell the, and as I've been telling people on this subject, all right, you want to trade Austin, you better do so extremely carefully and with a real eye for the future, because that future is going to look very differently as soon as LeBron departs one way or another. Now, as far as the second part of that, like the Rui thing, I kind of wonder if Rui is becoming underrated. Let's talk about that. So Rui Hachimura, statistically so far this season, has been pretty... oh boy, this is the best part of being live. I have somebody at my front door. Oh, it's just Amazon. Whew, all right, good. All right, sorry, everybody. So Rui Hachimura so far this season is off to, at least offensively, and I would say overall, a very good start. He's averaging just under 17 points a game, 4 boards a game. That needs to go up. 1.8 assists per game. He's shooting 59% from the field. That's pretty incredible. 45.5% from three-point range, also incredible. 82% from the free. Now he's shooting. He is shooting. Let's see. Free throws per game, about 3 free throws per game. I would like to see that number go up a little bit. But overall, I would say Rui has been a big part of why the Lakers have been able to stay afloat, especially with LeBron out. And by the way, like that is one of the things that Rui has really brought to the table, especially over the last year or so, is when LeBron is out and Rui steps into LeBron's starting gig, he normally produces in that spot. Obviously not to LeBron type standards, but he does produce in a way that allows, especially while the Lakers have had like Luka or Austin, he allows the Lakers to still maintain production at LeBron's position that, you know, can keep some consistency within the system that the Lakers are running. And that's a really important thing that Rui can bring to the table. And I always say this with Rui, and I think this is often the case with role players, but it's really easy with Rui to identify the weaknesses and wish that he was a different kind of player. Like, look, the rebounding thing is bad. Like, he's a bad rebounder. And I wish he was also better at blocking out. Like, do one of the two, right? Either block out and make it easier for your team to grab the rebound, or go out and get the board yourself. But being being as big as Rui is and averaging on the season just over 4 rebounds a game is just not really enough, you know? And so, that's something that I clearly would like him to do better. But even while I say all of that, Rui is also like really valuable in some of these other ways. Against Portland last night, him operating as that release valve and his willingness to catch that grenade and make do what he possibly can with it, and keep the offense going in that positive direction. Like, those are really, that's a really important ability that the Lakers don't win last night's game without.